This is a Locker Room Production.
Bacon Red Nation, it's your boy Jeremy Brenner here, and tonight we are recapping Rockets Celtics. Rockets fall short once again, their 34th loss of the season in 47 games. Jeremy Brenner here tonight. This is a tough loss for the Rockets, considering not a whole lot went right for them tonight. I see we have people coming in on Locker Room already, and I will get you guys to come up here and speak in just a few minutes. Just wanted to open the show and kind of give some stats before we go. Christian Wood led all Rockets scoring tonight with 19 points and 10 boards. Kevin Porter, an off night, 0 of 5 from 3, just 12 points for him. And, you know, honestly, the Rockets just felt out of sync on offense tonight. There was just something there that was missing that they didn't get in the Brooklyn game. The Brooklyn game, you saw that offense right away. And, you know, props to the Celtics defense as well. You know, Marcus Smart was definitely a huge factor on defense. I felt like, you know, we always saw him active on the defensive floor, on the defensive side of the ball. The Celtics had 9 steals and 7 blocks tonight. I mean, that's pretty darn impressive. And, you know, I think that was also part of the whole reason why this game went the way it did. You know, good defense from another team and poor shooting from the other team, that definitely will result in a loss, especially for the Rockets. And, you know, I can't wait until this team gets some shooting, man. Like, I really think that the Rockets in the draft should go wherever they get with the high pick, and then with the next 2 picks, just take the best shooters in the draft. They really need shooting. That's how Steven Silas's offense works, and that is how they should run. And I really think that they can go somewhere, but they got to get shooting on the floor, and they just don't have that. And it's really hard to implement an offense that is so, you know, prominent on the 3 ball, and you are the worst 3-point shooting team in the league. I understand that's not, you know, how this team was, you know, I mean, obviously this team was constructed very differently than anticipated. And look, the 3 ball is so important in the NBA in today's game, and the Rockets are part of that, and I appreciate that. And I think, though, the personnel just needs to change. And obviously, you know, the personnel that were there tonight is not going to be, you know, most of the team moving forward. You know, feel free to talk in the chat as well here live on Locker Room. Today we have a few people coming in. Vinny is talking about Christian Wood's fall, and we will be discussing that. So, you know, Christian Wood, he did fall at the end with about 4 or 5 minutes left to go in the game. And it appeared that he landed on his ankle. That's what they said on the broadcast. But I think it was also his knee. Like, he landed awkwardly on his knee. He kind of limped back to the bench. Obviously, a huge concern for the Rockets, considering Christian Wood's health has been, you know, somewhat questionable this season. And I will say this, I don't think it's as serious as we've seen. Obviously, I could be wrong. I hope that he can play Sunday, but it wouldn't surprise me if we see Christian Wood, you know, back on the bench for Sunday's game. And at this point, you know, given where the Rockets are going, it's not a huge deal if he misses a game or two. They personally think they personally need to just keep this train going. And I do see a lot of speaker requests now, so I am going to start bringing people up. If you have something that you want to get off your chest, feel free. This is a safe space for us Rockets fans that have, you know, been through it this year. But feel free, if you want to come up and speak, ask a question, talk about tonight's game, talk about anything else, please hit that speaker request button. I'm going to let you come up on stage and talk Rockets basketball for a little bit. So, again, Rocket, and if you're here on Locker Room, feel free to follow me here on Locker Room at Jeremy Brenner. And you can also follow the Dream Take on Twitter at the Dream Take and at Dream Shake SBN. We are also on Facebook, so go give us a like over there. We do half of our recaps over there and then half of our recaps over here on Locker Room to try to canvas more sides of our fan base. So I really appreciate all of the support here tonight. We have a nice little room here. Got Zeke, my guy here on locker room. Carlos, my coworker, my Battle Red blog brother. And we have Jackson Gatlin, host of Locked On Rockets over here. And a couple of familiar faces. We got Josh, Vinny, Mauricio. Really appreciate your guys' support. But if nobody wants to come and speak, I guess I'll continue talking about the Celtics. But we do have Josh that just hit his speaker request button. So, Josh, welcome to the Dream Shake, man. How are you
doing? Hey, what's up, Jeremy? How's it going?
It's you know, good, but we would have liked the Rockets win, I'll tell you that.
I want to say about Christian Wood. His play concerns me. The way he plays concerns me in a way.
I definitely see where you're coming from.
I tend to notice when he can't hit a shot, he drives a lot and he hurts himself. I would love for him to develop some type of post game, kind of like LaMarcus in a way. I think that would benefit his game so much if he's able to do a post fade or something have a go-to move. So when his shot is off, it's like he's steady running and picking rolls all the time, all game long.
Yeah, he kind of seems to go back at, you know, what he's like. He kind of tries that same shot. It at some point it could possibly get predictable, you know, as more teams start to pay attention to him. You know, I think in the past, Christian Wood wasn't necessarily a huge part of the scouting report. But now when he's the best player on the team, he is that part of the scouting report. And his game is a little bit predictable, but Christian Wood is that good to where even if you know what's coming, it's still going to, you know, he's still going to beat you. But like, for instance, like James Harden, in a way, I like what he was able to bring. Like, he's able to beat you in so many different ways. And that's what makes him the MVP. He can beat you with a step back. He can beat you driving. He can beat you kicking out to a guy in the corner. Christian Wood is a little bit.
Do you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Blake Griffin. When Blake Griffin first started and he could nothing but pick and roll and dunk, it kind of reminded me of that. And then when Blake changed his game to go to the outside and have post hooks, post fades, and all other types of stuff to his game, it just really developed. It's just sad to see that he got hurt the way he did.
Yeah. You know, I think that Christian Wood, though, his potential is enough to develop. And I think, I think it's. Give them an offseason. Give this team an offseason together. I truly think an offseason and an injection of shooting into this. I really truly think this team needs just a bunch of shooters. That's how this team operates. Because the offense is going to change tremendously. You know, I personally think that, you know, like Avery Bradley's not going to be here next year.
Nope.
Like Kelly Olynyk may or may not be next year. Obviously, he's made a good case for the Rockets to probably, you know, add.
It's only about three people I see coming back. I definitely see Sterling Brown coming back next year.
Would hope Sterling comes back. I think he'll get, you know, he'll definitely have offers in free agency, but the Rockets are going to have to pay him more than they did this year in order.
He's definitely
earned a better contract.
Definitely. I mean, yeah, I think one offseason together, especially with adding more people, would definitely help. I'm starting to see that they treat KPJ kind of like Harden a little bit. I see double teams and stuff like that. So, I mean, when we start getting more lethal shooters out there, I feel like we can really do something next season, especially.
And once KPJ gets a little more comfortable, the thing about KPJ is they give him double teams because it's like, okay, like they can afford to leave Daniel House open. You can afford to leave... you know, him open. You can afford to leave, you know, Avery Bradley open because they're just going to, you know, those are shots that you're willing to take and they don't make those. But if you give like KPJ, because he's going to get those double teams in the future moving forward. But if you put other guys on the floor that you can't necessarily leave wide open on the perimeter.
Give me a Joe Harris. Please.
Exactly. Like that's the kind of guy, perfect guy for this team would be like a Joe Harris type, is someone that can hit the three uber consistently. And look at Joe Harris this year. He's having one of his best seasons and he's nowhere, you know, and because there's been such an injection of talent on his team.
Yep. Also, I want to ask you another question. This is outside of the Rockets. Do you think the league is going to change everything by all these superstars and all the buyouts that's happening with in the future?
You know, that's a very good question. Cause I'll say this though. When it comes to the Nets, I wasn't on the Nets post game. Mike did that over on on Facebook, but I think when it came to the Nets, like, everyone was like, oh my God, like, they got LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin, acting like LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin were in their primes. Like, both of those guys are past their primes, and those guys are not the reason why the Nets were going to win the championship. Like, that, those two acquisitions don't push them over the hump for me.
But question.
James Harden was the acquisition that pushed
them over the hump, definitely. James, but do you think in a playoff series, just asking, let's say James Harden has a bad game, do you think LaMarcus Aldridge could come off and give you a 30-point night, or even Blake give you a 15-20-point night?
See, to me, I don't even think those guys are going to get that much run in the playoffs. I truly think when Harden has an off night, KD's going to step up, or Kyrie's going to step up. Like,
definitely.
You turn to your superstars in the playoffs. And when it comes to that Nets team specifically, we know how Mike D'Antoni runs his rotations. And Steve Nash being the head coach, we haven't seen anything that will suggest that he's going to run a 9 or a 10-man rotation in the playoffs. So if that team runs an 8-man rotation, assuming they're all healthy, who is it going to be? It's going to be Kyrie,
KD, Harden, Harris,
and Bruce Brown's going to get some run.
Definitely.
And then, so that's your 5 guys. Then, I mean, what, Blake and LaMarcus?
DeAndre Jordan.
And then DeAndre Jordan, that's 8?
Whoo.
But what about TLC? Loaded. Like, are you going to, like, TLC might be a guy that I would personally throw out there. And what about Nick Claxton? Honestly,
that team is stacked.
Nick Claxton is probably their best big.
He is their best big. He is.
And you have to, in my opinion, I would play Nick Claxton over LaMarcus Aldridge at this point. I mean, I'm still waiting to see what LaMarcus Aldridge can bring. I think that he is a bit of a liability on defense. And the thing is, the only thing that concerns me about this Nets team is their ability to defend in the playoffs. We know how much the game slows down in the playoffs, and they are such an offensive juggernaut.
Especially when you have to defend KD or – I mean, not KD. You have to defend LeBron or AD or Paul George or Kawhi. That's
exactly a problem. I'll say this too.
Or Giannis.
About, you know, to kind of bring this a little bit back to tonight, Evan Fournier played really well in that fourth quarter. He had, like, I think 20 points in the fourth. Like, if his three-point shooting is on, and if Robert Williams can stay healthy,
that's what that team needed. They needed him to give them a real good shooter.
Exactly.
To give Tatum and space to work, and Jaylen Brown. Look, that's what they needed.
Personally, I think the Celtics are the fifth best team in the East right now.
But I agree.
It's going to come down to matchups in that East playoffs, because there's a lot of those teams that are so close to each other, and the Celtics are in that tier. But if the Celtics can get a good matchup, can stay healthy with Rob Williams, Evan Fournier is shooting the way he did tonight, Celtics gonna be a tough out.
How do you feel about the West?
How do I feel about the West? See, I think at this point, I still, you know, in my opinion, the champs are always the champs until proven otherwise. Something's gonna have to beat LeBron James 4 times in a playoff series, and that is no easy task. The only teams that have been able to do that in the last several years have been
the Spurs,
Kevin Durant on it.
The Spurs have beaten LeBron. Oh, not in the past.
I mean, a team with Tim Duncan or a team with and the Spurs. See, I wouldn't say Kawhi's, you know, that wasn't really Kawhi's team. I think that was, you know, the Spurs in general. But I'll say this. I think that, in my opinion, it's going to be real hard if AD and other AD, Andre Drummond, if those two guys are healthy, nobody's getting in that paint. And you're going to have to make your threes. And if you're not making your threes against the Lakers, it's going to be real difficult. I never want to bet against LeBron James, because I've done that before.
So who do you think there are teams that compete against them? Who do you think that will be the best challenge for the Lakers this season?
See, it depends. There's a lot of teams, though, that could give the Lakers a real run.
I feel like the Suns could give the Lakers a run.
I think the Suns can. I think the Jazz can. Obviously, Nuggets. Clippers and the Nuggets, especially.
Oh, like, my God.
The Nuggets, I don't think Aaron Gordon is on the same level offensively as Jeremy Grant was, but people forget how important Jeremy Grant was to last year.
That team, yes.
And that is, I think, a big reason why the Nuggets kind of struggled to begin the year, was because they didn't have that presence next to Jokic.
Did they have MPJ in the playoffs last year?
I believe they did.
I think he was hurt last season.
He I can't
That Nuggets team was scary.
If anyone in the chat can remember if Michael Porter was playing for the Nuggets in the bubble, that would be greatly appreciated. But, Josh, I appreciate your time. I'm going to give some other guys.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate your support for the Dream Team, man.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. If anyone else wants to come up, I got Mauricio coming on up. Mauricio, welcome to the Dream Take. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
For sure. Any questions for me about tonight, about Rockets' future, about NBA future for this season?
Man, I think it was time. I'm slowly starting to give up on the Rockets. I'm going, how's Zeke's going? He's slowly giving up on the Rockets.
In terms of what, though? Like, I understand, like, giving up on this season or just, like, not being as interested in the season or just in general, like, you're done with the Rockets and you're going somewhere else.
No, I'm giving up on this season for the Rockets.
And kinda, that's fair. You know, I think we've all had points in the season where, you know, we've kind of lost interest. I think a lot of people lost it when Russell Westbrook was traded, then when James Harden was traded, then when Christian Wood got hurt. So there's been definitely a lot of times to jump off the ship. But what about right now is leaning you in that direction?
Just, like, I know we were, after the win, I was like, okay, this team is finally getting back on track. But then after we lost the game and then are we in a two-game losing streak right now?
Right. I think this is three in a row now. Grizzlies, Nets, and then now Celtics.
Oh, well, yeah. And we only won, like, two games after the losing streak. So, yeah. I don't know. It's just
let me ask you this, Mauricio. This is, like, a very, like, candid question. How long have you been following the Rockets?
Since Aaron Brooks and Yao Ming were there. Like, I think Aaron Brooks of 2011.
2011. So you have not seen a losing season of Rockets basketball. This is your first losing season. And I think we are at the point now where we're approaching loss number 37, which is potentially coming as early as this upcoming week against Phoenix on Monday. So if that were to be the case, then that would be the first Rockets losing season since 2006, which would be before the time that you started. And look, I think a lot of fans are learning, again, how to follow this team because it's very different following a team that is competitive, that is fighting for a playoff spot, that's fighting for a championship versus a team that is simply not. And what I would advise you as a fan of this team, I'm not saying, you know, give up on them or not give up on them. It's up to you how you decide to be a fan of this team. But it really truly is not about the micro, each game in and out. It's about, personally, about how this team develops moving forward. And if we see some positive developments in the future of this team, and to be honest, I think we saw that on Monday when they played the Grizzlies. I thought they played actually pretty well. And we saw that on Wednesday night when they played very competitive against Brooklyn with, you know, James Harden playing and Kyrie, and they played a pretty solid game on Wednesday night. Tonight, however, I don't feel like there was something that we can take away from this game that we haven't really seen a whole lot of previously that is something worth grabbing moving forward. And that's okay. You're not going to get that in every loss. Most of these losses, you know, have not been quality losses. And at this point, look, the Rockets are, you know, for all intents and purposes, I'm just going to use the word tanking. I've said multiple times how much I dislike the word tanking because I personally think that it makes people think that you're intending to lose, which, looking at this Rockets team, they're obviously not trying to lose, but they are not in a great position to win these basketball games. And that can be very frustrating. But personally, as long as you – like, do you feel positive about Kevin Porter and the possibility that he could be the next, you know – next dude for this franchise and Christian Wood, like, do you feel confident that those guys, when the Rockets are good again, will be the players that lead them to success?
Yes, because if you see the defense of KJ Martin, he's actually good. I think he blocked Gobert once and blocked Boban once too, but like,
he's on like a block tour. He's done Boban, Taco, Gobert, all of the big tall dude. Like KJ Martin is definitely, and he had a dunk tonight on Grant Williams. I know Grant Williams is no Taco Fall, but that was a nasty dunk. I was like,
yeah. But if all those future pieces can stay healthy and stick together, then yeah, we got a future ahead of us.
So the advice I want to give you is just look at the team and then just enjoy watching the players and enjoy watching basketball, honestly, because there's a lot, especially coming up, a lot of these games the Rockets are going to play, they're not going to win. And especially coming up, we got Phoenix on Monday, the Clippers next Friday. They got to play Phoenix again in a couple weeks. Denver's on the schedule coming soon. So the Rockets are not going to have a lot of chances to win a lot of these games. But enjoy, like, it's also been kind of nice to kind of just watch this team just to watch basketball and not really have to worry about, oh, is this team going to jump my team in the standings and et cetera, et cetera. So personally, just watch KPJ grow, because I think it's a lot sweeter when the success comes down the road when you see the struggle that the team had to go through to get to where they were. And the Rockets might struggle for a long time. And by a long time, I mean maybe two or three I personally think it's only going to be about 2 or 3 years before we see a real chance at getting back to the playoffs. And if we get Cade Cunningham, that timeline is a little bit accelerated. If we keep that pick, if we don't keep that pick, obviously it's going to be a little bit longer, but there is reason to watch this game. It's just not the same reasons that we've been tuning in for the past several years. But Mauricio, I appreciate you coming up and speaking. I'm going to let other people get a chance now, but thank you for supporting the Green Take. And
can I say one more thing?
For sure, go ahead.
If that doesn't work out, we got the Astros and Cougars to look forward to.
Absolutely. And the Cougars are Final Four tomorrow. We can definitely talk about some Cougars a little bit later in the show, and I'd love to talk Cougars for sure. But Mauricio, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
No problem.
All right, I'm bringing up Zeke now. Zeke, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you tonight?
Jeremy, my guy, how's it going, man?
I'd be better if the Rockets won, but it's all good in the neighborhood.
I wish I actually were able to watch the game. I hosted a room in locker room today that was 4 hours long. We had I had invited Alan Remich, and we were talking about international basketball. And he actually made Hakeem Olajuwon the best international player. So at least we got that, right? Hey, at least we got that.
That's a very important. Honestly, yeah, I mean, if you really think about it, is there any other person that is – and, you know, speaking of, you know, international, the Basketball Africa League is starting up really soon, I think. I think it's next month. I think it's in May. That's certainly going to attract my eye a little bit, especially considering the infusion of African talent that we've seen in the league, like with Pascal Siakam, Joel Embiid. There's definitely, if you're a basketball junkie, this is definitely something you should be paying attention to.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Most definitely. And he said he knows Hakeem personally. He's met him. He said he's the sweetest guy. So absolutely. It was awesome for him. It was awesome of him coming up and telling me stories. I was delighted. I didn't know before hours, though, so I kind of missed out on the game. Right? So, you know. But, yeah, I wanted to come up here and just put a positive spin on the Rockets, you know. I don't want to be depressing. I mean, it's easy to be depressed. I mean, look at my Rockets. Look at my name on Twitter. It's a depressed Rockets fan. Mm-hmm. Right? We go from James Harden to basically a team full of young guys. But here's the thing about the Rockets, right? I personally feel as if that our fan base, you know, we're a bit spoiled, right? Because we have not had legitimately a losing season since 2008. And that was how we got Rudy Gay and traded him for Shane Battier, shaded Stermont Swift and for Shane Battier with him in a package, right? Okay. So, you know, we have consistently have won. And even when we had a losing season, it was always 41-41. So it was one of those moral victories. Like, we're mediocre, but we're not bad, and we play hard. And you could say that the past few years in the Harden era has been a mental fatigue on the franchise, not just on the franchise, but the fan base. You know, we may not have liked how it's ran its course, but it's ran its course and it's reset, right? With all good things, it must come down, right? And but the thing is that even if it's come down and you may have your, you know, your beliefs and how you feel about it, this is a great foundation to build off of, right? You have Christian Wood and KPJ, right? And you have Tate. And the way how you stole KPJ, because I'm going to say it, we stole him for second round picks, which is ridiculous, knowing that we have poor man's James Harden in a taller and lankier frame and more athletic, right? So what I would advise everybody to do is just sit down and watch, you know? Steven Silas has shown that when people actually want to run his offensive scheme, the team is really formidable. They look like what they're doing out there somehow. Does the team sometimes have some brown pegs in a square hole? Yeah, we do. You know, you have to ask yourself, does John Wall fit the timeline? His contract is $40 million per, or Eric Gordon, does he fit the timeline? But, you know, that's not what you think about. Right now, what you think about is picking a favorite player on the team that you enjoy. Enjoy the time that they're there because they may or may not be there. And hope that we get better in the draft. We're going to tank to the bottom. I know tanking is not the word people want to use, but we're not going to be good this season because we have to take our pick. If we keep our pick, or according to the strength of schedule, we're number one. We're the toughest opponents. We're going to have the Grizzlies twice, Suns twice, and Sixers and Clippers. I mean, we're most likely going to keep the pick, and we might be the worst team in the league. And by worst, you know, if we're the worst team in the league, the worst pick we will get is fifth. So we're going to be good, and, you know, we might be good sooner than later, you know, because the foundation's good. So let's just hope, right? I don't want to be negative anymore.
Yeah, look, Mike and I, like Michael Brown, my co-host, who does half of our shows, he is a very micro approach to these games. He likes to look at games for what they were, and he's, you know, been, you know, disappointed with the season. Clearly, I don't think anyone's not disappointed with how the Rockets have gone this season. Definitely, this is probably the worst case scenario of any Rocket scenario that we could have written up, is what's actually happening this season. And so, like, the people that are, like, that are pro-tank, I don't necessarily think those guys are happy that the team's losing. I think that it's just more so, you know, this is how you lose. This is how you have to get better again. And personally, you know, there's a whole lot of, I personally think, like, that there are teams that have been rebuilding for a long time. Sacramento, Detroit, Minnesota, those teams that have stayed poor because they've had poor front office. And I don't necessarily think the Rockets are there yet. I think that most of the moves that Rafael Stone has made have pointed towards a positive direction. I think most of what Steven Silas has incorporated has pointed towards a positive direction. Mm-hmm. And I do think that these guys, there are pieces there that will be part of this team when they are good again. Jayshon Tate, hopefully KJ Martin, really loved KJ's game and how it's improved since the bubble. And I do think, I am very high on KPJ. There's no reason not to at this point, to be not high on KPJ. But at this point, the Rockets just, they need to keep massaging these pieces that they have and keep it going. And when it seems that it can't, there's a whole bunch of reasons as to why it won't work as well. And adding to that pick, you know, that this pick is really crucial for the Rocket success. And I would say that this offseason is incredibly crucial for the Rocket success, because Christian Wood is on a 3-year contract, right? If Christian Wood is, like, we basically have three years, including this season, to convince Christian Wood to sign a second contract with us, because I don't think that Christian Wood will Like, I don't think the Rockets will be at their peak in Christian Wood's first contract. I think it's going to take a second contract. And if they don't sign Christian Wood on a second contract, then I think you're looking at a difficult, a more difficult rebuild than what they are currently facing. And that's really the timeline. So if this summer is incredibly important for building this team in that vision around Christian Wood and around Kevin Porter. And you need shooters with that. You need that pick to go through. It's going to be incredibly crucial. I don't think it's going to be totally a wash if that pick ends up going to Oklahoma City. I don't think the Rockets are doomed if that's the case. Right. They'll simply just have to wait an extra year. And the thing about the Rockets is, yes, Christian Wood's contract is a little bit concerning, but that's so down the line from now that I'm not even that worried about it. Personally, let's get through the rest of this season. Hopefully they land one of those top four. Hopefully they land the number one pick, because I do think that Cade Cunningham can pull us out of a rebuild faster than any of the other guys can that are on the top four. But let's just take this day by day. That's simply how it works. You can't build Rome in a day.
Right. And to add even to that, like, we have multiple picks this year, right? If anything, I know for a fact that the Rockets are planning to make a big move to trade up in the draft or trade for a player that could help the team in the long run, or, you know, short-sighted. I don't particularly want a short-sighted move, but the Rockets aren't going to be a laughing stock for long. It's going to be shorter than what everybody thinks here. I know that, like, Rockets fans, we're used to just seeing our team in the playoffs every year. We're used to our team just playing hard. So, but I would just exercise everybody to be patient. I live in New York. I have seen the Knicks as a high schooler being quite dreadful. While I was a Rockets fan. So they have seen a pain way more than us. It's just that our pain is a little bit more, our pain has just been a little bit more painful because it's recent. So yes. let's just sit and relax and, you know, recharge ourselves and then get back into it when our teams are contending.
And you mentioned trading up in the drafts, and I think that is a possibility. I don't necessarily think that all three Rockets picks, assuming they keep their own, will stay as Rockets picks. Personally, though, I would rather utilize, if you're going to use those two picks and trade up and get a guy like Corey Kispert from Gonzaga, who is one of the best three-point shooters in this draft, you could hypothetically do that. But if I were Rafael Stone, this is what I'm doing. If we get that top four pick, I'm keeping that pick. I'm taking the second pick or the third, like either one of the other two first rounders, I'm attaching it to John Wall and I'm trading him, because I do think that John Wall negatively is not on the timeline as the Rockets. I do think that John Wall wants to play. I do think that John Wall wants to be in a place where he can contend and he wants to play as well. So I think this, what the Rockets are doing right now, doesn't fit what John Wall is doing. And it was when he first got here, but now that he's been here for the 4 months that he has, it's simply just not in the same timeline anymore. And it's unfortunate, because I do like John Wall as a person and as a player too, when he's not, you know, kind of...
You mean team commanding?
Yeah. I think that he's... You know, it's difficult. We talked about his hero complex and all of that, and kind of his hubris as a player, and how it doesn't really fit what the Rockets are doing. Like, it was okay before the trade deadline when Christian Wood was when he was hurt and he was out of the game.
Yeah, and we had Oladipo to blame though, everything he's on. Playing
on the court with John Wall and Christian Wood, like, I don't think that it made sense earlier in the year when they were competing for something. But now I think the direction of the team, the thing is, the Rockets' direction has changed 4 or 5 times in the course of just this one season. Mm-hmm. And with the shortened offseason, the coaching change, the Westbrook requesting a trade, then Harden, it's just, they haven't had enough time for continuity and for simply just having a team that's consistent. Because that not only with the trades, but the injuries have forced guys in and out of the lineup, and it's just been it's been a huge mess. And it's totally understandable as to why the Rockets are in the position that they're in. Right. But ultimately, sometimes that can be a good thing. You know, a lot of people have criticized the Rockets for being where they are. But personally, I would rather be where the Rockets are right now than somewhere 7 through 8 in terms of the draft order, because not only is it the Rockets not getting their pick, if that's the case, but at the end of the day, like, you look at teams like Detroit, you know, the Pelicans, you know, those teams, Charlotte Hornets, those teams have never been bad enough to be a top pick, but they've never been good enough to make the playoffs. And if the Rockets got Caris LeVert or Jared Allen, that's where the Rockets would be right now. Like, it's not like Caris LeVert and Jared Allen are making this Rockets team a playoff team.
Caris
LeVert's on Indiana right now, and yes, Caris LeVert is possibly their best player, but if you look at Indiana, like, they're not a playoff team right now.
Here's the thing. I don't care about LeVert. I actually care more about Jared Allen. Yeah.
And look where the Cavs are.
I'll say this, right? I do agree with the Rockets team, with KPJ, they'll probably get into the play-in, right? But where I agree with you is that being mediocre for the sake of mediocrity
it's purgatory. That's the last place they want to be.
Yeah, it's no place you want to be. It's miserable. It's why I think the fandom and Rockets Twitter itself are more acceptant of these losses versus than when we had Oladipo there. Because when Oladipo was there, you know, you were there as the guys, you thought of him as the guys to be the replacement to James Harden. Although there was picks involved, that was what it was built to be. A two-way star from the Eastern Conference that is athletic and can do some things. And, you know, he's not healthy and he has underperformed. And, you know, when you see his massive inefficiencies and see his below average playmaking for his position, it's just, you know, it was frustrating and people just could not stomach it. Right. It is. So now that he is gone, you know, nobody even talks about John Wall in a negative light, you know, because you're just happy that John Wall is just playing basketball after not playing for 2 years, right? So at this point, I think everybody should just accept that we're not good enough and that this is not the end of the war, right? That, like, this is just the end of the battle. Like, we'll come back, right? That's the point of a season. It's supposed to start and end and restart, right? So that's where my stance is on all of that. And Jeremy, I'm not too crazy about trading any of our picks, current picks right now, to dump John Wall. But I mean, a future pick is probably something I would rather do, right? Because if we're dumping a pick right now and a loaded draft, that's a little bit too costly for somebody like John Wall, who, although some people may make fun of him as a tank commander, he's still valuable in a vacuum, right? And that means they're saying that his value is super, super low, which it's low in the grand scheme of things because of his contract, but it's not unplayable. You know what I mean?
To be fair, the Rockets have the extra pick they got the pick from Washington in the trade to get so Washington had to attach a pick onto John Wall to trade him, and the Rockets now have those excessive picks. And what trading John Wall does is it frees up enough salary to where you can go out and get free agents, because what the Rockets truly need, the Rockets don't need to just hit in the draft, they need to hit in free agency too. And especially in the shooting department. Personally, when you get a shooter, getting them from college is one thing, but if you can get them, because look, the Rockets are gonna do what they can. They're probably gonna find some undrafted guy as well that's going to, you know, somehow crack the rotation or some late second round pick. But the Rockets are going to, like, it in a way, yes, you do need to develop your draft picks, but also it's definitely in the back of Rafael Stone's head. He won't say it, but it's definitely in the back of his head that Christian Wood is going to be a free agent in 2023. And if the Rockets aren't good by then, who's to say that Christian Wood won't leave for a better situation? Look, if Christian Wood is on the trajectory that he's on right now, assuming he stays healthy, the Rockets should offer him a max contract.
Agreed. And they will.
But will he take a max contract from a team that maybe is a little closer to a championship? Like, I do think that is, because I think Christian Wood could be in that conversation of guys that can go to, like, Christian Wood's going to get recruited in free agency if he chooses to leave the Rockets. I hope personally that he doesn't leave the Rockets, because I think he's our best chance of, you know, getting out of where we are. But I think that also is part of it, and it's certainly something that we'll talk about much more in depth down the line. It also depends on where those picks end up. For instance, because I know that the Rockets don't like where, like, those late firsts, because late firsts don't have as much value as, you know, early seconds. Like, I know that the Rockets are definitely in the camp of they prefer second-round picks because it costs less, and the value difference between a late first and an early second is not as much. And I know that they traded, you know, that pick swap from Milwaukee to get that late first as opposed to their early second. But I do think that having that first-round pick is definitely more valuable. And look, if you have three first-round picks, you got to pay three guys first-round pick money. Like, versus, you know, maybe not giving someone that guy. I personally don't – I think they're going to get two first-round picks will be on the team next year. I don't think it'll be three. I just don't see the Rockets doing that. I think it's much easier to get two guys and play them, like, actually play those guys. Like, if they get, say, let's just say they get, you know, just for simplistic purposes, let's just say they get Keith Cunningham, and then they get a guy in the draft. Let's talk about some guy that's, you know, Quentin Grimes. Just to throw out a name and to keep it local. Quentin Grimes, University of Houston. Let's assume they get those two guys. Like, play those two guys. Like, Cade Cunningham will probably get, like, if the Rockets get Cade Cunningham, I don't see the point in having John Wall. Like, there really is no reason to have John Wall anymore. They won't be able to play John Wall and Cade Cunningham and do them justice. It simply is impossible. You're not going to be able to keep John Wall happy. You're not going to be able to play Cade enough to the point where he can develop, because people forget, like, Cade Cunningham is only 19. So Cade has a lot of developing still left to do. And I think if you play him next to Kevin Porter, that's where you're going to get your most success. It's not going to be when John Wall's playing next to Kevin Porter, or when DJ Augustine is playing next to Kevin Porter. So that's another reason too why I would be more likely to deal John Wall if Cade Cunningham is big. Now, if they don't have a chance of getting Cade Cunningham, I'm totally okay with giving John Wall, you know, an extra another year with the Rockets, and then trading him when his contract becomes an expiring contract, and it might be a little bit easier to deal him. So that's another thing too. And if you got to play three guys, like, it's really hard to open three spots in the rotation for these guys. I don't personally think, like, if Steven Silas is only playing nine guys, like, another thing too, and I don't know if it's because Boston played a very small lineup, but I would really like to see DJ Wilson get a little bit more run. I would personally rather see him in the rotation other than Avery Bradley. And
agreed.
Not that Avery Bradley is, you know, a negative. I do think Avery Bradley has value, it's just I think DJ Wilson has a little more to offer right now than Avery Bradley. So that personally is where I would go. And I hope that we can see more out of him. Maybe if Christian Wood is not playing in the next game or two, maybe that will give DJ Wilson more of an opportunity. I mean, he didn't play – like, before the trade with Avery Bradley, you know, he was playing pretty frequently, and he was actually playing pretty well. And I do think Kelly Olynyk coming in also kind of hurts him a little bit. But there is a spot – like, you can make room for DJ Wilson. Like, I think that he's a guy – he's shown enough in a Rockets uniform to where there's – like, that's not all that he can offer. Like, he didn't deserve to be kicked out of the rotation, and not by Avery Bradley, of all people. So I hope that Steven Silas plays him a little bit more, but we'll just have to wait and see. But Zeke, yeah. I'm about to sign off here, so I appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Tonight, and hope to see you in the future.
Before I leave, how was Kelly O tonight? Because, you know, he's been a god lately. How was he?
Not god tier, I'll say that. He had, I think, 10 points. Not terrible, like more than Victor Oladipo. But, you know, 22 minutes, 10 points, 4 assists, 3 boards. He's 2 of 3 from 3 tonight, though. His 3-point shot has been kind of off lately, but he did make 2 threes tonight. So, Kelly Olynyk, the Olynyk Clinic, is still rolling. Ooh,
I like that. So, yeah. What you're saying is that we won the trade?
Yes.
Okay, guys. See, we won something. We won something. We won something, guys. So
I've been a defender of the trade. I still don't love the trade for the Rockets, but I have been less critical of the trade than most people have. And not because Kelly Olynyk's been playing pretty well since he's gotten Houston, but mainly because of, you know, the Rockets simply had to get rid of Victor Oladipo, and they had to open minutes for Kevin Porter. That was the main beneficiary of the trade. And, you know, we've certainly seen that, especially in these first couple of games. But thanks, Zeke. I appreciate coming in.
No problem. You're my guy, so
I'm going to give Joe a question here. Joe, thank you for coming in on the Dream Take. How are you, my friend? I'm doing great, but would have been a lot better if the Rockets pulled out a win tonight.
Oh, yeah, I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah, do you have a question for me tonight? You want to talk anything about tonight's game or any Rockets talk?
Hi.
I didn't really pick up what Joe was saying there. It looks like he's off, but this is my curtain call. I will sign off here, but thank you so much to everyone who came into the room tonight. Zeke, Jackson Gatlin in the comments here, Mauricio, Josh, everyone, thank you so much for coming in. I will be back on Sunday with another locker room post-game show. We take on the Pelicans on Sunday. Big key for that game, hopefully Christian Wood plays. If not, it's going to be very hard for the Rockets to pull out a win. It's going to be very hard for the Rockets to pull out any win this season, especially against the teams that are in playoff contention. At this point, though, let's just see a sign of development from this team. We didn't really get one tonight. Hopefully we get one on Sunday night. The Pelicans, they play really big, so I would like to see more DJ Wilson. Kelly Olynyk's also going to play a pretty important role, so keep an eye on the bigs against the Pelicans for Sunday's game. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at Dreamshake SBN. We are the home of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. You can also give us a like on Facebook. We're over there, and we drop half of our game recaps over there with Michael Brown. And you can also follow me here on Locker Room at Jeremy Brenner. I'm here to give the Dream Take live post-game recaps. I'm also in rooms very frequently, popping in and out. Baseball season starting, basketball season picking up, playoffs about to start soon. So feel free to keep the conversation flowing here on Locker Room as well. I am always looking forward to good conversation on this fine app. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. And until next time, go Rockets!